This morning's topic. I hope everyone likes the title. I tried to do a little ABCs. This morning's topic is one that is, I think, often overlooked when we're studying Parshas Mishpatim, and then the other instances of it occur in the summer months. So certainly Kol Yom Rishon doesn't often get a chance to study Ari Mikla, but even in yeshivos where certain mesechtos are popular, Makos does enjoy some of that popularity, but very often it's the first parak of Makos, and the second parak of Makos, known as Elu Hei Nagolin, is very often overlooked. So what I want to try to do this morning is correct that general historical wrong, and try to learn together with you some of the ABCs of the laws of Rotzeach Bishgaga, the laws of unintentional killing, and hopefully give you some food for thought and sources to continue your own study on this. If you look at the source sheets, pages 4 and 5, at the very end of the source sheets, contain a detailed, organized list of relevant sources for all the major topics that occur in the second parak of Makos, Elu Hei Nagolin, which I had the pleasure of teaching this past summer. So what I want to try to do this morning is we're only going to have time to focus really on one specific aspect of the laws of Ir Miklat and Rotzeach Bishgaga. We're going to focus on probably the most challenging of these laws, the one that seems somewhat foreign to us, and that is one aspect of the laws of Goel Hadam. But before we do that, I want to just give a brief overview of some of the interesting questions and issues that come up in general. So if you take a look at the source sheets, we'll begin with source number one, the psukim from yesterday's parsha. That was the tie-in, Parshas Mishpatim, right after the section dealing with the laws of slavery and Yehud and the like. We have a few psukim devoted to the laws of murder slash homicide, and this is the first appearance in the Torah of these particular laws, laws which we know as the laws of Ari Miklat, but the phrase Ir Miklat, city of refuge, does not yet appear in this section. Makeish Vameis Mosumas Vasher Lotzada. If someone kills someone, they shall surely be put to death. But if someone doesn't plan this, V'alohim inal yado, v'samti lecha makom asher yanushama. Rather, God causes it to transpire. So we're told that God will reserve a place for us, v'samti lecha makom, that place is not yet named, asher yanushama, where the person who presumably unintentionally, at the very least, but maybe even someone who intentionally but unpremeditatively, if that's a word, kills, this is where they go. Then the Torah adds, V'chi yazidi shal re'e lahar go barma. However, if a person does indeed intend to kill someone, intentionally does it with guile, me'im mizbichi tikachen lamut, from the altar, from my altar, you shall take him to die. So there's a great deal of discussion about what this makom asher yanushama is. There weren't arei miklat in the desert, so perhaps this is referring to the Machane Levia. Others understand that this is referring to the actual Mizbeach. And then the question becomes, if the Mizbeach, if the altar serves as some sort of place of refuge and asylum, how does that interact with the Ari Miklat once we get the Ari Miklat? So there are several different views. According to the Rishami, once you have Ari Miklat, the Mizbeach no longer works at all. According to the Bavli, it works under certain circumstances, even if you killed the Mezid. And according to the Medrash Halacha, the Mizbeach works exactly like the Ir Miklat. We're going to leave aside altar asylum for now, and we're going to tackle the three major topics that come up in the laws of unintentional killing. Okay? Those three are as follows. Number one, this is the one we're going to focus on today, the entire institution of the Goel Hadam. Right, which is often translated as blood avengers, but if we read carefully, Goel Hadam is not the same as Nokeim Dam. Goel Hadam certainly has a more positive connotation. right? Geula in Tanakh is not very often used. It's used when it comes to redeeming land. It's used in the context of Rus when in a quasi Yibum situation. Geula literally means redemption. So Goel Hadam, at least the way the Torah portrays it, may have a more positive connotation than perhaps us moderns think is appropriate. To be fair, there are those, and we're going to see even amongst the Rishonim and Amoraim earlier, there are those who kind of take away some of the powers of the Goel Hadam. But that's the first question is, how does this Goel Hadam work? What does it mean that we allow someone, you know, it sounds like vigilantism, we allow somebody to go ahead and kill? Under what circumstances is that okay? Why is that okay? How are we to understand that? So we're going to spend our time today examining that particular issue. The other two related issues, and all these need to be studied independently and then put together into a larger piece, a larger, you know, kind of forest. The other two major issues are the Ir Miklat itself. What is the function of the Ir Miklat? In the Torah, the Ir Miklat sounds like it's basically a haven and a safety, you know, base intact. It's a place for Hatzalah, it's a place for a person to run and to be safe. In the Mishnah, we already read of the Ir Miklat not as places merely of refuge, but as Elu Hein HaGolin. The term Golus does not appear in the Torah or in all of Tanakh in this context, and it already has a different connotation. Galus is a place where you're punished, where you're exiled to, or Galus is a place where you achieve expiation, where you achieve atonement. That's a place of kapara. So the Ir Miklat itself is a fascinating topic. How exactly does it work? What are its goals? What are its objectives? There are other issues as well in terms of the therapeutic value of the Ir Miklat for the unintentional killer themselves. That we're going to have to leave aside, and that the Mizbeach ties into that, because the Mizbeach may work as a haven and as a safety refuge, but it may not be able to be utilized as a place to achieve kapara or as a place of onesh. Okay? And thirdly, and this is what the parak actually starts with, the third major topic. Number one, Goel Adam. Number two, the nature of Ir Miklat. Number three is Rotzeach Bishogeg itself. How do we understand this scenario, this case of unintentional killing, or sometimes it's called unintentional murder, sometimes it's called unintentional killing? Exactly why is it that Rotzeach Bishogeg is the only scenario in which we have this entire fascinating institution of Galus and Goel Adam, etc.? So the third major piece of Parak Elohein HaGolan and understanding the whole institution of Ir Miklat and Goel Adam as a whole is trying to figure out, what is it about Rotzeach Bishogeg that generates this whole wave of halachos and institutions that we're unfamiliar with? Is there negligence here? Is it not about guilt, but about responsibility? You were responsible for what you did, but you're not necessarily guilty. So trying to understand exactly when and where Rotzeach Bishogeg generates the Chiyuv Galus and the institution of Goel Adam is another very important piece. Those are the three major topics to discuss. That's the ABCs of Perek Eluhein HaGolan. Number one, Goel Adam. Number two, nature of Ir Miklat. And finally, number three, trying to understand Rotzeach Bishogeg. Along the way, there are a lot of interesting side issues, like what does the Kohen Gadol, his death, have to do, right? That's probably the most famous question. What does the death of the Kohen Gadol have to do with this person being let out of Golos? So if you look at the source sheet at the end, you'll have a whole host of sources on that particular question. But again, those are the three major issues, and then there are a number of other important minor issues along the way. What I want to try to do this morning, even though it's not necessarily related to Parshas Mishpatim, but it certainly is a central aspect of these laws, is try to understand Goel Hadam. Now, Goel Hadam, as we've already alluded to, and Rav Hirsch makes this point, he says it's not Nokem Dam, it's Goel Hadam. There are other commentators, modern commentators, who say, well, really, Goel Hadam is, you know, Ala Eishes Yifas Toar, a concession to the times and to the frailties of human beings, but it's really not a lechatchila in any way. And that's part of the issue that we're going to explore. I believe that, at least in the Torah, there are certain circumstances when the Goel Hadam is acting indeed as a redeemer. One of those circumstances is when a person kills B'mezid. Then the Goel Hadam plays a special role, at the very least, as the executioner. He plays the role of the executioner. A family member is the one who's supposed to kill this person, as opposed to other capital cases where the Edim are the ones, Yad HaEdim Tiyebo Barishona. When it comes to murder, a family member does it. We'll leave that aside for now, because that's perhaps, according to some, a separate case and a separate din of Goel Hadam. But probably the most central place where we find Goel Hadam in the Pesukim is what happens when the person is sentenced to Galus, is told to go to Galus, and gets a little tired of it. The Ari Levim were not necessarily the most happening places. The Ari Miklat were not necessarily there weren't parties all the time. And he strays, he wanders out of the Ir Miklat. So in that circumstance, the Psukim in Bamidbar, which has the most elaborate treatment, lengthy treatment of the dinim of Goel Hadam, the Psukim in Bamidbar seem to instruct us about what happens in such a case. So let's take a look at source number 2, and then we're going to skip to source number 5. I gave you the other series of psukim in the Torah where this comes up. Also, there's a couple of prakim in Sefer Yoshua where Yoshua implements the vision of the Torah for the Sheish Ari Miklat. But for us right now, we're going to focus on the Goel Hadam. So what we read in Bamidbar Perek Lamed Hey, if you take a look at source number 2, is as follows. V'yidbar Hashem l'Moshe more. Daberu bnei Yisrael v'amarta lehem ki atem avrim es hayarden arta kanan v'yikritzim lachem arim arei miklat tiyena lachem v'nasham rotzeach makei nefesh v'shkaga. Again, even that dual phrasing. He's called a rotzeach, but he's a makei nefesh v'shkaga. That's where he's supposed to go, the ir mikla. V'hayu lachem harim l'miklat migoel v'lo yamus harotzeach ad amdo lifnei ha'ida l'mishpat. This is a very important pasuk, as we're going to see. The Torah tells us these cities are places for the person to be absorbed and protected from the blood redeemer, from the Goel, and the Rotzeach, this person who killed, should not be killed until there is some sort of court case tribunal. Right? Then we go through the Arim themselves, 3 on each side of the Yarden. And then we go through some of the circumstances of when you don't go to the Ir Miklat, when presumably you kill B'shogeg, or with certain utensils that indicate that you killed, when you kill B'mezid, you killed intentionally. So in Pasuk Yutes we read, in these circumstances, when you kill B'mezid, Goel Hadam hu yamises harotzeach b'figo bo hu yamisena. The Goel Hadam is supposed to kill the Rotzeach in these circumstances. However, if it wasn't intentional murder, but rather it just happened, then we read in Pasuk Chavdalid v'shaftu ha'eda bein ha'makeh u'bein goel hadam al mishpatim ha'ele, the eda, the congregation, judges the person who killed the makeh and the goel hadam. So this, by the way, sounds like the goel hadam also plays the role not just of executioner and vigilante, but also prosecuting attorney, right? Right, so the judgment between the Makeh and the Goel Hadam, based on the laws that we've just described, in the circumstance when it was killed, when the killing was done unintentionally, we've determined that, then we save the Rotzeach from the hands of the Goel Hadam, we return him to the Ir Miklat, which makes it sound like when you kill, right away you run to the Ir Miklat for protection. We call you back from the Ir Miklat for the court case. And then if we determine that you should be in the Ir Miklat, we return you to the Ir Miklat. Okay? Asher Yanu Shama. However, Umatza Oto Goel Hadam Michutz L'Gvul Ir Miklato. Let's say, I skipped the pasuk. V'yitzil ha'idah et ha'rotzech mi'ag Goel Hadam V'yishivu oto ha'idah el Ir Miklato Asher Yanu Shama. The Yashavad most Kohen Agadol Asher Mashachasov Shemana Kodesh. That's the Kohen Gadol thing, which we're going to leave for the moment, which is fascinating. The fact that the Mizbeach is mentioned as a place of refuge may help us understand why the Kohen Gadol's death is relevant, and the fact that the Ari Miklat, Ari Levim, may help us understand why the Kohen Gadol, you know, Ma'inyan Kohen Gadol Eitzel Rotzeach Fishgaga. Then we read Pasuk Chavav, and here's our primary topic this morning. Vim Yatza Yetzei HaRotzeach Es Gvul Ir Miklato. Let's say he leaves. Asher Yanu Shama. Umatza So Goel Adam Yichutz Gvul Ir Miklato. And he finds him, the Goel Adam finds him outside of the Ir Miklat. Viratzach Goel Hadam Es HaRotzeach Ein Lo Dam. Okay, how would you translate that? And the Goel Hadam kills the Rotzeach, he does not have blood. Okay, is that an obligation? Is that a chiyuv that the Goel Adam is supposed to carry out? What?
It sounds like
it's putter. Oh, Ein Lo Dam sounds like he's putter. But Viratzach Goel Adam is HaRotzeach almost sounds like there's a tzivui. Right? So we're going to, that's where we're going to pick up. Why? Because ki bir miklato yeshev ad mos kohen gadol. Because really he's supposed to stay in the Ir Miklat until the Kohen Gadol dies. So let's pick up in source number 5 with the interpretation of these psukim. Okay? Source number 5 is the Mishnah in Makos. There's a lengthy Mishnah on Yud Aleph and Beis which deals with Nigmar Din. They're fascinating laws. Let's say the Kohen Gadol dies right before Gemar Din. Then he's in trouble. He's got to stay in the Ir Miklat for the rest of his life. Only if the Kohen Gadol, if the first Kohen Gadol dies, and then before Gemar Din another one is appointed, then when the second Kohen Gadol dies, he goes free. But if they don't have a chance to appoint a second Kohen Gadol before the Gemar Din happens for this guy, he's stuck in the Ir Miklat for in perpetuity. Okay, the Mishnah then continues and describes our case. Rotzeach sheyatza chutz l'tchum. Let's say the Rotzeach leaves the Tchum. This is an important technical point. The Ir Miklat doesn't just include the city itself. Tchum Ir Miklat, you know, the 2,000 Amos, like Tchum Shabbos, is considered part of the Ir Miklat in some circumstances. So let's say, though, he leaves the Tchum Ir Miklat and the Goel Adam finds him. Rabbi Yossi Adlili Omer Mitzvah B'yad Goel Adam. V'rashus B'yad Kol Adam. Rossi Agli says there is an actual mitzvah to go ahead and kill the Rotzeach B'shogeg. Again, this challenges our view that this is just a concession to the feelings of vengeance and the passions of familial vengeance that course through the family member. Rabbi Yossi Agli says it's a mitzvah, and everybody else, it's at their discretion. Right. Even for everybody else, Rishus Biad Kol Adam, Ein Lo Dam teaches us that. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rishus Biad Kol Adam, V'chol Adam, and here we have a hugely important girsa, right? There are two different girsos. Chol Adam, our text has Chayav in a love. Most of the Rishonim, the Rambam and others, have Ein Chayav in a love. Let's stick with Ein Chayav in a love for the moment. According to Rabbi Akiva, the Goel Hadam, it's at his discretion. He doesn't violate an Isser if he goes ahead and kills the Rotzeach B'shogeg. However, anybody else who does, is certainly acting against the Halacha, non-normatively, it's Usser, but Ein Chayav in a love. Now, if you say it's Chayav in a love, that's even more. If somebody else goes ahead and kills this Rotzeach B'shogeg, when he leaves the Ir Miklat, not only would they be violating what they should be doing, not only would they be transgressing an Isser, they would be put to death for it. Okay, the Rambam Paskins Ein Chayav in a love. We can stick with that for a moment, but certainly, whether you say Ein Chayav in a love or Chayav in a love, colors the entire Shita of Rabbi Akiva, trying to figure out exactly what Rabbi Akiva is saying. So Rabbi Akiva says, listen, V'ratzach Goel Adam Es HaRotzeach doesn't necessarily have to mean there's a mitzvah. It just means that he has rishus. If he encounters him, if he chases after him, he finds him outside the Ir Miklat, he's allowed to go ahead and kill. Now that's a very important machlokas between Rabbi Yosef Lili and Rabbi Akiva about the nature of Goel Adam, especially in this case. But the Gemara on this particular Mishnah adds several pieces to this discussion. both within Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, and even more importantly, introduces a third position, the position of Rav, which it traces back to a Tana. It's unclear whether Rav was working with that Tana or was saying it on his own, but either way, the Gemara traces it back to that Tana and introduces a third position, which forces us to radically reread these psukim, and again, teaches us something fascinating about the whole institution of Goel Adam. So the Gemara in source number 6 on this Mishnah states, Rotzeach shiyatza chutz l'tchum v'chule. Tana Rabbanu. The Pasuk says, the rabbis taught, the Pasuk says, V'ratzach Goel Adam is Rotzeach. Mitzvah biad Goel Adam. Ein Goel Adam. Rishus biad kol Adam. Divrei Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Now, is that the same position of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili that we saw in the Mishnah? Take a minute. Right. So in the Gemara, in the Braisa quoted by the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili says, if there's no Goel Hadam, then Rishus Biad Kol Adam. In the Mishnah, we didn't have that qualification. And the Mishnah said, Mitzvah Biad Goel Adam, Rishus Biad Kol Adam. The Braisa brought, cited by the Gemara, makes it sound like this is a default, like this is a backup. If there's no Goel Adam, then Rishus Biad Kol Adam. But let's say there is a Goel Adam and he's chasing after it and somebody else decides they want to go ahead and kill, then it might be a problem according to the Gemara. Okay, so that's the first important nekudah with regards to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rishus Biad Goel Adam, V'chol Adam Chayavin Alav. That's the Girsa there. My time to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, what's his rationale? Miksiv Imratzach. Do the Psukim state, if he should kill, it says Viratzach, which sounds like, you must, you have a Chiyuv. Rabbi Akiva, Miksiv Yirtzach. Okay, so Rabbi Akiva's position is a little bit harder to defend. The Ritva points out that Rabbi Akiva himself would agree that Viratzach sounds like it is a mitzvah. But Rabbi Akiva could not conceive that it would be a mitzvah to go ahead and kill, and therefore he understands that it's a reshus. And if there's any suffix about how to read the pasuk, if there's any other way to read the pasuk, Rabbi Akiva will pounce on that other way to read the pasuk and understand that Viratzach is just describing, you know, if he goes ahead and does this. Very interesting. So there's a machlokas with regard to the orientation to the Goel Adam, according to Ritva, not merely the textual question of how do you translate and define Viratzach. Okay, but here's now the third shita. Amar Marzutcher Bartuvia Amarav. Rotzeach Sheyatza Chutz L'Tchum. And it's the exact same phrasing that we saw in the Mishnah, source number 5. Umitza'o Goel Adam. V'hargo. Page, top of page 3. Neharag alav. Whoa. If the Goel Hadam finds the Rotzeach B'Shogeg outside of the Yer Miklat, Rav comes along and says, and kills him, Rav says, Neharag alav. Whoa. Where does this come from? How does he read the Psukim? So before we get to how he reads the Psukim, the Gemara has a problem. Rav, you're not going according to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili or Rabbi Akiva. Come on. Lo k'Rabbi Yossi HaGlili v'lo k'Rabbi Akiva. Or it says, no, there is a Tana out there. Hu da'amar ki hai Tana. D'tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer ad amdo lifnei ha'ida l'mishpat. You cannot kill the Rotzeach until you bring him before the congregation for judgment. Ma Talmud Omer, what does this pasuk teach me? You might have thought, because the Pesukim later on say that the Goel Adam kills the Rotzeach, you might have thought it's right away. Talmud Lomar, Ad Amdo Lifnei Ha'ida L'Mishpat. Okay. So what is Rebbe Eliezer saying? Rebbe Eliezer is saying, and Rav seems to be working within his framework, the Goel Hadam never has permission to up and kill the Rotzeach B'Shogeg outside the confines of a court case. Adam Do Lifnei Ha'ida L'Mishpat. This is completely rereading the Pesukim, because if you look back at page number 2, at source number 2, you'll see that what Rebbe Eliezer is doing is taking the pasuk in pasuk Yud Beis, "Lo yamus harotech adam do lefnei ha'idol mishpat," and he's transposing it and reading it in as a qualification for pasuk Chav Zayin. Umitzao goel hadam mechutz legvul yer meklatov veratzah goel hadam esrotzeh ein lo dam, but only if amdo lefnei ha'idol mishpat. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, this is fascinating, and we have a whole range now. According to Rabbi Eliezer, there's no concept whatsoever of a vigilante who's sanctioned or who even has condoned or even has permission. No such thing as vigilante justice. What the Goel Adam is allowed to do, and maybe it's supposed to do, is to make sure that this guy is brought to a court of law and now sentenced to death as a result of his violating the terms of his exile, if not parole. The terms of his exile were you stay in exile until the Kohen Gadol dies. He left. What happens? The Goel Adam is supposed to arrest him or make the authorities aware that he has violated it, and then perhaps the Goel Adam, after a court case, the Goel Adam can go ahead and be the executioner like he is in the case of Mazik. So what's interesting is, according to Eliezer, the role of the Goel Adam in the case of Shogeg is not as a vigilante. It's pretty much the prosecuting attorney, just like it is in the case of Mazid, an eventual executioner. I guess he's also a bounty hunter, right? We'll add that to the list of roles that the Goel Adam has. He's able to find the guy, bring him to justice, but then within the confines of a court of law, not on his own, he's allowed to kill. Yes?
It's not just the prosecutor. It's like he's standing in for the murdered victim.
Correct. Correct.
A toin and a nitan.
Correct.
So he's there.
Good. And I think that explains, you're right, that explains all the roles of the Goel Adam. The reason why the Goel Adam has multi facets to him, or you know, he seems to be a chameleon. He's an executioner and he's a prosecutor. He's standing in because he is the one who is supposed to make sure that justice is achieved for the person who was killed. Yes.
Isn't there a difference between before trial when the Rotsach runs the Yerichon?
We'll get to it.
As to whether he's already goes and left.
We're going to get to it. We so far seemingly, excellent question, have been talking about the case of where he was sentenced back to Golis and then he leaves. So what we have now is three positions. Rabbi Yossi Aglili on the one extreme says mitzvah biad Goel Adam. Rabbi Akiva says rishus biad Goel Adam. And now we have Rabbi Eliezer / Rav who say neharag alav, that if the Goel Adam acts as a vigilante without first bringing him to a court of law, he is killed. So it would seem that the case we're talking about is that particular case. Okay, now, if you take a look, let's take a look at just some of the Rishonim. If you take a look at a number of the Rishonim, they try to explain exactly what are the requirements of this last position of Reb Eliezer. The Ritva, for example, in source number 7 says, Adam do lefnei ha'idol mishpat perish, kidei shiyu ha'idam masrim bo, shem yifsha mikan ve'elech latzeis chutz l'tchumo, o im lo yirtze ladur sham, she'idam u'mutter mikan ve'elech l'gol adam, im yotze chutz l'tchumo. So this is interesting. The Ritva says, it's not that he has to bring him to the court of law, and the court of law then takes care of him. It's that he has to be warned or rewarned. Was he warned when he first was sentenced to Golis? The Ritva doesn't say. But he has to be warned now, either for the first or the second time, that it's up to you. This is a final warning. You left. If you go back, we'll forget all about it. But if you decide to stay out here, or if you leave again, then the Goel Adam is able to kill you. So what the Ritva does here is he doesn't understand the way we understood it. He seems to be saying that even Reb Eliezer / Rav can understand, can conceive of a scenario where you would have the Goel Hadam being allowed to kill outside of the context of a Beis Din, but it has to be after an additional warning, you know, a second strike happens. The Tosos Shantz in Makos actually cites that this position of Reb Eliezer is alluded to in the Sifri. The Sifri Darish, and I have the Sifri in source number 9, we're not going to go through it inside, you have it for your own perusal. The Sifri Darish Goel Adam Hu Yamis HaTzorotzeach Shomei Ani Yargenu B'yado Beino Levein Atzmo Tamalomer Komak Nefesh Lefi Edim Magid She'en Hargo Bebezdin ube'edim. Mikan alumedim de gol adam eno rashay la'argas arotzeach yoser mishar adam. Okay, this is not like the Ritva said. The gol adam does not have the right to kill him above any other person. The gol hadam lohuskar. The only reason why the gol adam is mentioned in this context in the psukim ki im lemitzvah she mitzvah she yaharig rotzeach al yedei gol adam. Really, the gol adam is only in the case of mezid where the rotzeach is supposed to be put to death. Vadai Reb Yossi Reb Akiva de Pligi im shar b'nei adam ne'aragin alav kishiyatza chutz mi'ir miklato lo sirle. So certainly this position, either it's in the Sifri, or we can call it Rabbi Eliezer, or the position of Rav, seems to emerge that the Gol Hadam does not have any more rights than anyone else. And again, the way you have to do this is transpose that pasuk earlier on, Adam do lefnei adol mishpat, and understand that that is a qualifying verse, phrase, even for the case that we've been talking about where the guy post Gemara Din goes back to the Ir Mikla and then leaves the Ir Mikla. Question.
What is the Ein Lo Dam that points to Rav?
Very good question. Very good question. According to Rav, Ein Lo Dam would mean that if he leaves the Ir Mikla, he is sentenced to death, Ein Lo Dam, meaning the Beis Din can sentence him now to death as if he were a Rotzeach B'mezid. That's what's interesting also according to this, that we kind of switch tracks here. If what?
Who is the low? Is it the Rotzeach?
Right, right. So, right. Ein Lo Dam would now be referring back to the Rotzeach B'shogeg, which you can say according to a number of positions that's the case. Okay. That's already one revolutionary shita in terms of reading these psukim. The Rashash also comments, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Adam Do Lefnei Mishpat, Mashmado Al Kopanim bathed in Dunin Oso Lahariga. Right? Nevertheless, if he leaves the Ir Miklat, not the way the Ritva understands it, but the way the Rashash and the others understand it, if he leaves the Ir Miklat, then we bring him to Beis Din and he's sentenced to death. Okay. Let me just add one little kinach here before we get to Rabbeinu Chananel, who turns everything on its head one more time. According to Rabbi Eliezer, is it only that he limits the scenario when the Rotzeach B'shogeg is killed? Let me rephrase that. We said that the Gol Adam is not allowed to just go ahead and kill outside of the confines of court. He has to bring them to justice, etc. But let me envision the following scenario. I haven't seen this in the Achronim, but I think it makes a lot of sense according to this Rashash mentality. Let's say you have a scenario where the Rotzeach B'shogeg leaves the Ir Miklat. He's dying for some Starbucks. He leaves the Ir Miklat. I guess I shouldn't have used that term. He's really needs a Starbucks fix. Leaves the Ir Miklat, but gets back in time. Okay, but the Gol Adam sees that he leaves the Ir Miklat. Maybe he gets a couple of Edom together, and now he comes to the court and says he left the Ir Miklat. Where is he now? Well, he's back in the Ir Miklat. Do you have witnesses? Yeah. So what would Rabbi Eliezer say there? Now, I think according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, you're not allowed to kill. If you're a vigilante, you can kill when you find him outside of the Ir Miklat. But if he made it back to the Ir Miklat,
he's safe.
But what about according to Rabbi Eliezer and Rav? What's fascinating is that Rabbi Eliezer and Rav in this position may not just be a limitation on the Gol Adam. It could, in certain circumstances, allow the Gol Adam to put the Rotzeach B'shogeg to death when Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva would say you can't do so. Like in this case, if he gets back to the Ir Miklat, maybe the Rashash would say you can now reconvene the court case. You open up the docket and you say he was sentenced to life until the Kohen Gadol dies in the Ir Miklat. He left the Ir Miklat. I don't care that he's back in the Ir Miklat. We can put him to death right now. I'm not sure if that's 100% correct, but it makes a lot of sense. No, according to Rav, if the idea is that the Gol Adam's role is to make sure that he stays in the Ir Miklat and to bring it to the authorities' attention that he's violated the terms of his exile and left the Ir Miklat, then maybe, I'm getting some shakes, but that's fine, maybe we could say that there would be a scenario where he would say, bring him back to court and put him to death. Not sure.
All the court can do is give him the Hasra.
That's the Ritva. I don't know, the Ritva says it's Hasra. Maybe according to the Rashash and according to the Pashup Shad of Sifri, there's now a new court case, And we say, did you violate? We have witnesses that said you violated. You left. You went to Starbucks. Off with his head. Or yes, yeah, Saif, I guess, in the case of Rotzeach. Okay, fine. That's what we see in the Gemara. Three fascinating positions on this case of the Rotzeach. Sheyatza michutz legvul ir miklato umitzao goal adam, and the range of positions. Now, let's take a look at Rabbeinu Chananel in source number 11. Right, this is fascinating stuff. Nobody ever does this. It's fascinating. Rabbeinu Chananel, I believe. Well, before I get to what Rabbeinu Chananel, I believe Rabbeinu Chananel says, let's read Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel on that Gemara says as follows, and I bolded the little insertion that Rabbeinu Chananel made, which is key. Hariga sarotzeach. Mitzvah biyad goal adam. Ubiyad kol adam rishus. Divir Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Kiva omer rishus biyad goal adam v'chol adam ein chayav in alav. He has that other gear so that the Rambam also has. Mishum de Rav amru. In the name of Rav they stated. Rotzeach sheyatza chutz l'tchum kodem sheyigmar dino ligalus. Umitzo gol adam vehargo neharagalav. What does Rabbeinu Chananel say is Rav's shita? Right, this gets back to the question that was raised before. Rav isn't talking about a rotzeach outside of the Ir Miklat after he's been sentenced to go to the Ir Miklat and he left, broke the law and left. What Rav is talking about is he's on his way to the Ir Miklat. Maybe we're on his way back from the Ir Miklat if we want, when for the court case, right? We're not talking about the scenario of where he left the Ir Miklat after he was sentenced to the Ir Miklat. Rav, presumably, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, wouldn't argue on that case. That's a beferish pasuk. V'ratzah goel adam esarotzeach. Mitzvah rishus, we don't know, but there's certainly no problem with going ahead and killing you. It's at the very least a rishus. Ah. So, Rabbeinu Chananel, I believe, couldn't conceive of rereading those psukim and transposing Adam Dol Lefnei Adol Mishpat later on the psukim. But listen to what he does to Shitos Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, because he has to read the Gemara. And the Gemara thinks that Rav doesn't work with Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Why wouldn't Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili work according to Rav once we limit Rav to when he's on his way to the Ir Miklat? Listen to what he says. Umat mihinan, and the Gemara asks, Kiman, who does this go like? Kiman amar Rav l'shmaitze, lo k'Rabbi Yossi Aglili d'amar mitzvah, v'lo k'Rabbi Akiva d'amar rishus, mikom makom l'tarvayu pater, v'amrina Rav d'amar k'Rabbi Eliezer. So according to Rabbeinu Chananel, it's subtle. He just adds in one phrase. But by subtly changing that phrase in order to make Rav's position not be so problematic, he's now made Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi's position radical. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, argue about mitzvah rishus not just when he leaves the Ir Miklat, when he's supposed to be there after he was sentenced to the Ir Miklat and spend some time there, but even when he's on his way to the Ir Miklat. Rabbi Yossi Aglili is incredibly radical according to this, because listen, Rabbi Yossi Aglili is now saying there is a mitzvah for the Gol Adam to chase him down and try to kill him, even as the Torah has told us that the proper thing to occur right now is for him to go to the Ir Miklat. He's got to come back from the Ir Miklat for the court case, and then he's sentenced to go to the Ir Miklat. We send a couple Talmidei Chacham to escort him, to protect him, but according to Rav Yossi Aglili, it's almost incredible. This is what's supposed to occur, but yet the Gol Adam is supposed to be trying to pursue him and trying to kill him. Why does Rabbeinu Chananel do that to Rav Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva? I think he's not as bothered by Rabbi Yossi Aglili because we don't pass him like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, but I think he does it because he can't conceive that Rav would say Neharag Alav in the case that in the Torah sounds like it's at the very least Rishus. So what we have, if you hadn't followed, we're going to restate it now. According to Rabbeinu Chananel, he rereads the entire scenario. He says the scenario is not when the guy was sentenced to the Ir Miklat, spent some time in the Ir Miklat, and then decides to go to Starbucks. It's when the guy was sentenced to the Ir Miklat and is going back to the Ir Miklat. He's on his way to the Ir Miklat. That's when Rav says, Neharag Alav. Okay, that That I understand. But the Gemara says that that position of Rav doesn't work with Rabbi Yossi Glil and Rabbi Akiva. So what do Rabbi Yossi Glil and Rabbi Akiva hold? They must hold that even in that scenario, when you're on your way to the Yer Miklat, there's a machlokis, whether it's mitzvah or rishus. Tainach Rabbi Akiva, who says it's rishus. Even that's, I think, problematic. But Rabbi Yossi Glil now is advocating mitzvah, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, in that particular scenario. So what we have here, I think, are revolutions and transformations of our understanding of Goel Adam. Within the Mishnah to the time of Rav, you know, if we look at it somewhat historically, I think it's also interesting. Rav is certainly later than Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Glili, and Rav is basically saying, I'm not into this Goel Adam being a vigilante ever. Bring him to court. Adam del lefnei ha'idal mishpat. Now, the Gemara traces it back to Rebbe Eliezer and to the Sifri, according to the Tosfos Shans, but it's interesting that Rav is the one who comes along and says, I'm not comfortable with this at all. And then Rabbeinu Chananel, several hundred years later, comes along and says, well, Rav, you have to be able to read the Psukim. Rav, unless we say it's Kodem Shenigmar Dino Legolos, makes no sense. So he reads Rav and says it's Kodem Shenigmar Dino Legolos, before we've actually sentenced him to Golos, and he's back there, and he then tries to flee and escape. But in doing so, Rabbeinu Chananel radicalizes the positions of Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. Okay, yes?
Dr. McMillan mentioned that he was escorted by two men
right.
who warned the Goadam
right.
to lay off.
So that's the Mishnah. So what you would have to say is that according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, either Rabbi Yossi Aglili thinks there's supposed to be this conflict of what the Torah on the one hand wants to happen, but what it sanctions and even condones the Goel Hadam to do, which is a little problematic, or you have to say the Mishnah is not going Aliba de Rabbi Yossi Aglili. That's the other way to go with it, that the Mishnah is going Aliba de Rab. I would say it's even hard to say the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Akiva, because he says it's Rishus. If it's a Rishus, you know, why are we sending Tamir Chum and not bodyguards is another good question. Well, you know, send some muscle with the guy if we're worried about it, but we'll leave that aside for now. Okay. We don't have time. Got 15 minutes. Okay? What I want to try to do now is take this last scenario, the Rabbeinu Chananel scenario, and the truth is Rabbeinu Chananel is not the first one that talked about this. This is actually discussed in the Gemara itself, not in the context of our Gemara. Now, it's unclear if Rabbeinu Chananel had a different gear to that Gemara. That would be one thing. It's much more radical, but probably more likely that Rabbeinu Chananel didn't have that gear, but he just had to insert that scenario in order to make it make sense for Rav. But in doing so, he actually raises this issue of what is the status of the Goel Hadam? What is he allowed to do before the guy goes to the Yer Miklat? Right? We had assumed, until we saw this Rabbeinu Chananel, that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili would not sanction anything in that case. I had assumed that if a Goel Adam kills the Rotzeach before gets to the Yer Miklat and flees at any point along the way, that he's Narag Alav. There are certain very narrow cases when the Goel Adam is allowed to act. Either Rotzeach the Mezid, where we bring him to court and then he's the executioner, or Rotzeach HaShogeg Shiyatza Chutz L'Yer Miklato. But what about this scenario where there's a back and a forth, he goes to the Yer Miklat, then he comes back for the court case, and then he's escorted back to the Yer Miklat. What happens in that case? So Rabbeinu Chananel just said, well, Rav says they are Neharag Alav, and Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva would argue. I don't think that's Pashut Shot. It sounds like Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva would say that you're in trouble there. However, Rav Huna is of the opinion that you would be Pater in that case. It's Usser. But like Rabbi Akiva's Shar Adam, right? Shar Adam, according to Rabbi Akiva, according to the Rambam, was Ein Chayav in a love. That would be the psak for the Goel Hadam in a case where he preemptively kills. It's not normative. It's Usser. He's transgressing. But he'd be Pater. Here's Shitas Rav Huna, source number 14. Okay, we're spending less time in the Rishon just because I want us to be familiar with the Gemaras themselves. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, Rotzeach Shegala Li'ir Miklat. Again, this is different than the Mishnah's case, which said Rotzeach sheyata chutz l'tchum u'mitzagol adam. This is a Rotzeach who has been sentenced the Ir Miklat u'mitzao goel adam, and the goel adam finds him along the way before he has a chance to get to the Ir Miklat. Not, he hasn't done anything wrong, Rotzeach v'shoke. He's followed protocol 100%. Nevertheless, Rav Huna says Potter. Now the Gemara goes on and explains how it understands this velo ein mishpat mavis, but I think this is another fascinating aspect of the Goel Hadam's law. If you look back at source number 4 on the first page, there's a fascinating pasuk in the final parsha in the Torah which discusses the laws of Ir Miklat. That is the psukim in Parsha Shoftim. Right? The psukim there talk about setting up signposts and roads along the way in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael to tell the Rotzeach v'shogeg where to go. But here's how it's described there. Pasuk Vav. Why do we do all this? In order that he should live. Pen yirdof goel hadam acharei harotzeach ki yecham livavo. Why do we make it easier? Why do we put up signs this way to the Ir Miklat? Now, why wouldn't the Goel Adam also read those signs? It's another question. I'm not sure. But the reason why we do all this is because we're worried. And these psukim don't make it sound like the Goel Adam is acting appropriately. These psukim make it sound like the Goel Adam is acting as a human being. Pen yirdof Goel Adam acharei harotzeach ki yecham levavo. Because his heart will be... literally, what does it mean? Right, right. I think the legal term is irresistible impulse. No, are there any lawyers here? I don't know. Right, he's in hot pursuit. And how is Rav Huna reading these psukim? Not just that we set up the signpost and we set up the path so that the guy can go to the Ir Miklat. Rav Huna seems to be reading this, and if he goes ahead and does it, we can understand it. We won't punish him for it. It's wrong. It's usur, but it's a mitigating factor. It's a mitigating factor which tells us that he's not neharag alav. Now, would Rav Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva agree to this? We don't know. We don't know. The Ritva has a whole discussion about this that I put on the source sheet, I hope. Yeah, source number 15. Whole discussion about this. But what's fascinating is Rav Huna has now introduced another factor here, but it's probably the most basic factor that we all were operating with the whole time, which is this is seeing the Goel Hadam not necessarily as a redeemer so much as the Nokeim, as the blood avenger. And even if he's acting inappropriately against protocol, keneged the halacha, Rav Huna says he's going to be putter. Not because ain lo dam. He really, the Rotzeach v'shogeg here does have dam, or should have dam, maybe, I don't know. It's unclear. Ki yecham levavo, it sounds like that allows us to view the scenario here charitably, at least vis-a-vis the Goel Hadam, and say that he's putter. What's fascinating is, this is, I think the Yiddish term is Einfall. This is a beautiful connection that we can see within Shitas Rav Huna. Rav Huna, who either introduces this idea of the mitigating factor based on the hot-headed passion and understandable impulses that the family member has, actually has this halacha in another case as well. This is fascinating. Take a look at source number 16. I had the pleasure or the good fortune of teaching the 8th parak of Sanhedrin right before I taught the 2nd parak of Makos, and I think that's the only reason why I was able to connect these two dots. The sugya of Baba Machteres. We read about it yesterday as well. Right? In Baba Machteres, right? What does the Torah say there? Ein lo damim. Right? There are only two places in the Torah where that phrase appears in the context of the Rotzeach b'shogeg who leaves the Ir Miklat ein lo dam, and the Rotzeach, or outside of the Ir Miklat, we're going to say according to Rav Huna, because it's not that he leaves the Ir Miklat, but outside of the Ir Miklat ein lo dam, and the case of Bav Machteres, someone who who's a burglar and who's transgressing the law and putting their own lives and the lives of the people in the home in danger by coming stealthily in the middle of the night. So there's a huge question when it comes to b'machteres about when does the law b'machteres end, right? Let's say he takes the stuff and he's running away from your house. Or let's say he's no longer in the machteres. So there's a three-way debate in the Yerushalmi and Sanhedrin about this. We won't get into details now because it's not as relevant to us. We'll get at the end, though, where it comes up. That's what the pasuk says in Parachat Beis Mishpatim. Tani Reb Chiya b'machteres ein lo damim, chutz l'machteres yesh lo damim. Right? While he's in the machteres, he doesn't have dam, so if you kill him there, you're putter. But once he's outside of Machteris, does that mean if he's in your house? So probably not. It just means that maybe if he was running away and was back in the tunnel. It's unclear exactly each one of these shitos. We'll get to the Rav Huna position in a minute. Rav, Tani Rav, Shimon Bar Yochai, afilu chutz l'machteris ein lo damim, l'fi shimamona shel adam chavu av kenafsho, chamile azil bay mesa mamone. What's going to happen? He's going to confront him. He's going to want his money. The kamli lave the katle. Okay? I still have this memory of this crowd here remembers Shmuelke Bernstein's, right? All right. So one time we were eating at Shmuelke Bernstein's. And do you remember like in the 80s, people used to, if you had like an older car, people used to steal batteries, car batteries. So our car battery got stolen all the time. We had a Dodge something or other. And what? Yeah, so our car battery all the time. So we're eating at Shmuelke Bernstein's, and it's my parents and I think us, and we're walking out of Shmuelke Bernstein's, probably 7 o'clock at night, but it's dark. It was during the winter. And there's a guy with his head in our car, stealing our battery. Okay? The guy grabs the battery. We're parked about a block away, and starts running. And my father, who, you know, is not cheap and doesn't care so much, but the fact that this guy was so brazen, this is probably why Shmuelke Bernstein's closed. You know, that was the neighbor. The fact that this guy was so brazen to steal our car while we were enjoying a family dinner, my father takes off after this guy. It was nuts. The guy could have had a gun. But again, chamile, you know, when you see something like that happening, you don't necessarily think so clearly. Okay? He got a police officer and police officer. Again, you run a lot slower when you're carrying a battery than. Okay. Rav Huna Amar, with this we'll close. Rav Huna Amar, Natalas Akis. Rav Huna seems to take the most radical position. Even if he's taken the purse. Vahafech has panav latzeis. Vihalachlo. He's run away. He's running down the block. He's far gone. Nobody's life is in danger anymore. He's not going to turn around and shoot. He's gone. Nevertheless, the amanalav, the hargo, if a person, the owner, this would probably only apply to the owner of the kiss, the homeowner, ein hahargo neharag, my time de Rav Huna, ki echam levavo doesn't appear in the context above machteres. What does Rav Huna do? He takes the Ein Lo Dam of Goel Hadam, which we know he believes in, because we've seen that the Ki Yecham Levavo in Goel Hadam, which he believes in, we know he believes in, because even before he gets the Golas, Rav Huna says the Hargo is Putter, and he applies it back to even the case of Bamachteres. Now, would Rav Huna say it in every case? Probably not. Then you'd have too much vigilantism and too much bloodshed. But what we see in Shitas Rav Huna is another wrinkle in the din of Goel Hadam. Beyond the question of when are you allowed to kill, when is there a mitzvah to kill, when are you forbidden to kill, Rav Huna says that even if you're not allowed to kill, even if you're transgressing, if you kill in certain circumstances, we can understand. We can view the passion and the impulse that you have as a mitigating factor. And then he learns that ki echam levavo, interesting, fascinatingly, but through the Ein Lo Dam connection, back over to the case of Bava Machteres. So hopefully what we've seen today is an introduction to the laws of Ir Miklat. We spent our time really focusing on the Goel Hadam and some of the aspects of Goel Hadam. We haven't exhausted that topic either. hopefully, in addition to what we've seen, the Shita of Rav, which radically shifts our understanding of the Pesukim and the institution of Gol Adam. Then the counter-revolution of Rav Chananel. And lastly, the position of Rav Huna, which adds another dimension to it. Hopefully that'll be a petah for all of us to learn a bit more about these particular laws and try to understand the fascinating and seemingly peculiar, but now hopefully we have a greater appreciation for them, laws of Rotzeach, B'Shogeg, and Yir Mifflat. Have a good day, everybody.